Okay. Well, tonight we're really going to do Midrash, believe it or not. And I'm going to open up a window. And the Midrash... Wait, you guys hear me okay? If you don't hear me, just give me a chat. We're going to open up a window that will show the Midrash. The Midrash has to do with Yaakov's Neder. Yaakov's Neder in English is a vow. And if I'm sure you'll remember from yesterday's or this morning's Torah reading, I gotta get my time change straight. The Yaakov makes a vow about building a house for God if God takes care of him. We don't go on to get all the details of the vow. I just wanted to show how the Medrash uses that in a very interesting way. Before we see the Medrash, I want to make one little introduction about study of Medrash. There's several types of Midrashim, but in my opinion, most Midrashim are written primarily not to let you know what happened, but they use an event in Chumash to teach you a message. That doesn't mean some of them aren't coming to tell you pshat. That doesn't sound, some of them are, you know, just could be, some come teach you halacha. But many of them are just beautiful ways where the Tanaim, the great rabbis in the Talmudic time, use problems in Sukkim, or simply use Chumash as a springboard for giving over beautiful ideas. And today we'll see one beautiful example of that. So I'm going to open up our first window, and make sure my window works properly. Show my desktop. Here we go. And start. And we're going to... there we go. I'm going to open the first line. With a nice little header there. And if you don't... Just someone tell me, make sure you see the screen okay? I've noted here a... Okay, someone wants to downline. Okay. So I put down the online source for Medrash Rabbah. There's a little link over there in case somebody wants it. I want to start with the first one about on the first parak, about Yaakov davened about Yaakov's tshuva. So if you remember, I'm going to go to the screen on Parshat Vayetzi in a second. When Yaakov davens, before his neder, he makes a little prayer, if God will be with him. And God makes a promise, I'll be with you, I'll take care of you, etc. And Yaakov begins his neder with a very similar wording, if God will basically take care of me. So Rabbi Avoh and Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Amar Mesreset Hi HaParsha. V'achrin Amar Al HaSeder Nimra. Let me explain the machloket. One is saying that the parsha is out of order, and the other is saying it is in order. Now, what's leading to this machloket? We're going to take a look at our Tanakh, and we'll see why in one short minute. I simply have to do a... I want to get the psukim up, and I want to make sure we get the psukim back where they belong. Here we go. I want to get a tool. I'm going to go back to... I have to put a tool back on. I have to close the window. Oh, here we go. I have to load another tool. Okay. The screen should be back on now. And I'm going to load a tool where I can highlight. Which I forgot to add before. Load highlighter. There we go. Okay, I thought it was saved from last week. It'll take 1 second. And we get our highlighting tool. You'll see what it will have in a minute. I'm going to show you the problem that the Midrash is talking about. If you take a look at the Pesukim, when Yaakov goes to Beersheba, I mean, he has a dream, and God tells him as follows, Hinei Enochi Imach, Ushmarticha B'chor Asher Telech, Vashivoticha Adam Ma'azot. God tells him, I'm going to take care of you and be with you, etc. And then, only several psukim later, Yaakov makes his neder, and he says, in his neder, let's clear that. Okay. In his neder, he says, "Im yelokim imadi u'shmani bedu asher shanach yolech." So, if you notice the similarity between them, this is almost the same as this. Okay. And Hinei Enochi Imach is almost the same as Im Yelokim Imadi. the Parshanim are bothered by the fact, how could Yaakov simply ask and say, in doubt, that God's going to keep his promise? So therefore, if I go back to the Midrash, Ravi Avahu says, back to here, Ravi Avahu says, Musureset Yeh Parsha. Musureset means it's backwards. You have to turn the order around, because first Yaakov davened, and God hit galut to him, and the Sulam is actually God's answer, that he will be with him. And the other opinion is, it's Allah said, the way we understand it, and our weekly Parsha, in case you read my share this week, I talked about how Yaakov's answer might not be if, but rather when. He's not doubting God keeps his promise, but he will. Now, Manda Amar, we're over here now. Manda Amar Mesureset Yeh Parsha, Shekvar Yishticha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God already promised him, and that's why it has to be out of order. Shemar Hinenochi Imach. Okay? And Yaakov would say, "Who Omer Im Yeli Mimadi?" How could it be that Yaakov would possibly doubt God's promise? Therefore, it's got to be out of order. That's one opinion. Mandamar Vaseder Nemra, the person who holds it's in order. Mani Mekayim Im Yeli Mimadi. How could Yaakov possibly, if God would be with me? How would Yaakov possibly say, if God already promised him? Elakach Omer Yaakov, Im Yitkemu LiAtnaim. Not if, but like we said in Shir, when possibly or should. God filled this time. Shamar Leviot Imil Shamani Ania Kemit Nidre. When God fulfills this for me, then I will fulfill my nether. And then we go to this whole topic of when to make nethers. At the end of the show, remind me to talk about it. Okay. Now we're going to continue. That was just a little promo. Now we'll do the fun part. Notice what the Medrash is going to do now. Okay. Rabbi Bevo and Rabbanon, both. We're over here now. Rabbi Bo and Rabbanan both make a interesting limud on this pasuk, on this situation, on Yaakov's tefillah. Okay? Rabbi Bo says as follows: Rabbi Bo and Rabbanan, Rabbi Bo Omar, Im Yeli Mimadi, Ushmani B'derech Asher Shanui Cholech, Midlashen Hara. What's Rabbi Bo say? What is Yaakov davening for? He said davening it for physical things. If you look at Yaakov's tefillah, it seems totally physical. They'll take care of me, they'll give me food to eat, save me from enemies, etc. He says, what do you need to be saved from? From Lashon Hara. Yaakov is going on a trip, he's not in his Yosheva Olim, he's not in his homesteading anymore, and he has to be saved from Lashon Hara. Okay? How do we know that Ushmani Baderach Azer Shanuch Yolech, how do we know that Derach means Lashon Hara? Eich Madat Amar, he brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, V'yadrichot Lashonam Kashtam Sheker. He's talking about the people, how bad they are. He says, they're making their zorech. They're leading their teeth to speak in sheker, in a falsehood. And so what Rabbi Lo is doing, he's taking a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where you have the word derech used in a slightly different context, where a person's sort of leading his tongue to speak sheker. It's almost like an arrow, a keshet, it's like an arrow, to speak. And therefore, with Yaakov using that similarity in words, he says, the derech that he's going on is a derech that will lead him to speak Lashon Hara, and therefore, save me from Lashon Hara. That's interesting because Rav Lo is probably talking about when someone embarks on a journey and leaves his home setting, and it'll be troubled, sometimes you have to say things to save yourself, and you might end up talking Lashon Hara. Now, what else is he worried about? We'll continue. V'natan li lechem lechol. What's lechem lechol? This is very interesting. He says, Gilui al-rayot. What's he davening for? What's he praying for? To save him from illicit relationships with other women. Right? How is that v'natan li lechem lechol? What would that have to do with eating bread? So this is ingenious. Hech madamart in Rishit. If you remember the story of Yosef, when Yosef is being enticed by Potiphar's wife, he says, "Lo yada otom itom uma." Potiphar found nothing wrong with him. Ki melechem asher ochel. Everything Yosef had done was totally trustworthy, except for the lechem that he would eat. So, what does it mean? Yeah. The midrash here is making a view on what does it mean that nothing's wrong with what Yosef did. Bread that the king eats. So what bread does the king eat? Well, therefore, the Medrash sees that is referring to his relationships with his wife. So this is called a Lashon Haki. It's a nice way of saying about how he related to his wife. And therefore, what's he praying for? V'natan lechem le'achol, he's praying for Gula Arayot. The God should protect him from that. The last example, two more. B'shapti b'shalom beit avi, I'm going to return safely home. And what does he mean, safely home? He says, mi shvichut damim. He's not saying that he shouldn't have to kill anybody, or should be saved from killing. V'yashem li l'alohim yavodah zarah. Notice that the Isurim, the three famous prohibitions that you're supposed to even give your life for, which are Gilu Arayot, Shvichut Damim, and Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Kochavim, Shvichut Damim, and Gilu Arayot, all the three, Shvichut Damim, and Avodah Kochavim, all three, they find in these Tzukim. Now, was that really Yaakov's Shila? I'm not sure, but it's beautiful how the Medrash uses the words and find something in each word that relate to the Avera. That's Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to go down a page and see the next Rabbanan Zoom. Okay. We're going to continue now. And Rabbanan Patrin Le B'cho Inyana. Rabbanan solve it in a totally different way. Only from one Pasuk. From the Pasuk, Im Yeli Mimadi, Ushmani Baderech, Azir Asher Nochi Olech, they're going to make a big deal about the word derech. They're going to find each of these four avirot in the word derech. Mi'avodet kachavim, mi'gilo arayot, shvichut damim, mi'lashon hara. From all three. From idol worship, from gilo arayot, and murder, and lashon hara, all in the word derech. Okay. It says, ve'ein derech el avodet kachavim. The word derech relates to avodet kachavim. And look at the bride they bring from Amos. Hanishbein v'ashmat shamron v'amro, chei elohech adan, v'chei derech v'ershava. Okay. So we have the word derech, v'ershava, in relation to idol worship. So idol worship is derech. Vein derech elu gila arayot. Shneimar, kein derech yisham ha'efet, they bring a pasuk in Mishlei, they have the word derech by in yisham ha'efet. Adultery. Vein derech elu shvichut damim. They have the word derech by shvichut damim. B'li atelech v'derech asher manar raglecha min tivatam. A pasuk also from Mishlei. And finally, not using the word derech, but using pshat in the story, Vein derech elu lashon hara, Shneimar v'yishma Yaakov v'divrei b'nei Levan memor lakach Yaakov v'kosher lavinu. He gets sick by lashon hara on the story of Yaakov with Levan at the end. Okay. I'm going to turn back to the screen now, and the fun midrash is still coming up, but we're going to go back to our screen and discuss what we just saw. Let's go back to our screen. There we go. And we say stop. Okay. But no, we didn't do so. First, I just want to check with, let me clear the screen there. Okay. Any questions so far? Just want to check out the, okay. But we saw so far with classic drash where we turn Yaakov to Venus Tila, which is sounds, when you first read it, something so gashmi, something so physical. You know, give me food to eat and bread to drink and, you know, save me on the way. Classic tefillah to derech. And the Medrash beautifully turns it into a tefillah about gashmias. About ruchnias, about something ruchami, about a spiritual well-being. And that you shouldn't do any avirot. You shouldn't do any prohibitions. I think though this Medrash is leading up to another Medrash, which we're going to quote in a minute, which, takes a totally different read. I wouldn't call pshat in the psukim, but I think pshat in what's going on in Chumash. And that's what we're going to do in the next part. And listen to this one, which we're going to see in a minute. So again, let me summarize. The first Midrash of Rav Avohu and Rabbanan all turn Yaakov's tefillah from a tefillah about bread and food and survival into a tefillah about his spiritual well-being. And they pick the big three. The big three Avodah Lashon Hara, Shvichut Damim, Avodah Zarah, and Gilu Arayot. And they add to it Lashon Hara. Now look at the next Midrash, which we'll see how we have a totally different approach, which relates to the end of the Parsha. We're going to quote now from Bereishit Rabbah. Okay? It says as follows. I'm going to highlight it. It says, Kol Mishenoder, we'll take this Bereishit Rabbah Lamed Zayin, says, Komisha Noder, anyone who makes a vow, Umashed Nidro. Anyone knows what the word Mashed means? I'm going to have a little, I'm just going to test the audio for the thing. We've got to have some participation here, otherwise I'll go nuts. I'm going to close it. Okay. What's the word Mashed mean? Anyone know? It's a nether, and delays his nether. Means he should have fulfilled it, but didn't fulfill it on time. Okay. And here the Midrash is going to make, is going to relay something very true to the Pshat, that Yaakov doesn't come back as early as he should have. We'll discuss that very soon. So now we're going to go and take a look at what the Midrash says about this. So again, anyone who makes a nether and Mashed Nidro, okay, Mashed Nidro, I'm sorry about that, let me get the pointer right, clear and marker, okay, Mashed Nidro, someone who delays his nether, Sof Shaba Lidei Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayot Shfichut Damim. What's going to happen to him? See? He's going to end up doing these four things. Isn't that amazing, this Midrash? The first Midrash said that Yaakov prayed that these things should happen to him. Now the next Midrash comes and says, or different Midrash comes and says, that because Yaakov held back his nether and didn't fulfill it in time, it led to Avodah Zarah, idol worship, Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damim, and Lashon Hara. Mimi Atalamed, from who do we know this happened? Kulan B'Yaakov, they all happened to Yaakov, Ayidesh Nadar, because he made a nether, B'Shad Nidro, Badidi Kulan, because he made a nether, and he waited to fulfill his nether, everything happened to him. We're going to get back to the Pesukim in a minute, but I want to have a little discussion here about what we just saw. Now, if you had to guess, what is the Midrash talking about? I want to take volunteers. The Midrash doesn't say when these four things happened to Yaakov, but the Midrash says that because Yaakov held back his neder, we ended up with Gilui Arayot, with Shfichut Damim, Avodah Zarah, and Lashon Hara. Okay? Let's start with Shfichut Damim. Where in Yaakov's life do we have Shfichut Damim? In this context, so later on in his life. Anyone want to bring a suggestion where it's from? Okay. It could be Yosef's brothers. Ah, very good. Okay, I wanted to hear both of those answers. Very good. So we have the events that took place in Shechem, or the story with Yosef's brothers. Maybe we'll take a vote later on and see which ones people think fit in most, but we'll leave those both as possibilities. Okay. How about Avodah Zarah? Where do we have idol worship? Okay, we have the story with Rachel and the Trafim, what we call the GPS. I'll tell you you know the word on the Trafim and the GPS? Some Parshim explain why was she taking the Trafim? Was it just to save her father from Avodah Zarah? But some people say Trafim were what people used to find their ways, like I'll call it ancient GPS. Okay. Very good. What Barbara's saying from Montreal is later on in the story with Shechem, the people in their own family, it looks like after they take when God tells Yaakov to go to Shechem in the beginning of Perek Lamed Hey, Yaakov tells his family members, we're going to see those in a minute, get rid of the idols that are in your midst. So we have idol worship within the family. Okay, very good. And that's what Zeb's saying, the same pasuk that Asur Eloheinichar, we'll see that soon. Okay, so we have for Avodah Zarah, we have two possibilities. And for Shvichut Damim, we have two possibilities. How about the next one? How about Gilui Arayot? Where do we have that? Where do we have illicit? Okay, let's see. So we say marrying two sisters, but that happened probably beforehand. Okay, the story of Reuven is one for sure. And later Yosef, the same one that we referred to. Okay. So is that referring to Reuven? What happened with when he moved the beds? Remember at the end of Perek Lamed Hey. Okay. Or is it the story with Yosef where he got... No, all these things happen to Yosef. Notice how there's one possibility of everything with Yosef, and there's another possibility of everything within Yaakov's life. And where do we have Lashon Hara? That's right. So Yosef and his brothers for sure. Notice that we have an answer relating to Yosef for every single one of these, don't we? Yosef and Potiphar's wife was Avodah Zarah. Yosef and his brothers was Shvichut Damim. Yosef, Lashon Hara, Yosef and Dibat Ra'ah is easy. And what was the last one? We had Shvichut Damim, Avodah Zarah you could say by Yosef by being in Egypt. Or we have them all in. Is there any Lashon Hara in Yaakov's life? Okay. What do you mean by when Jacob's talking to Pharaoh? No, where do you have Lashon Hara there? Okay, about his. Okay, you could see it that way. Maybe his bad life. He sounds like he's complaining with Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe a little bit. The brothers talking about the dream seems to be the main Lashon Hara, but they're all things that get Yaakov in his life. Now, I'm going to take, we're going to look at the Pesukim in a minute, but I want to make a suggestion. How do you do the second Midrash? In other words, how do the two Midrashim relate to each other? That can't be by chance. The both Midrashim pick up that in Yaakov's Tefillah, Yaakov is asking himself in his Tefillah, before he leaves in this nether, his tefillah is about don't give me what to eat. That's for sure. That's not a problem. Save me from these spiritual problems. And then the next nether comes and says the reason why Yaakov actually suffered from all these, Yaakov or his family later suffered from all these spiritual problems is because he waited to fulfill his nether. Can anyone suggest what's behind that midrash? What's behind that approach? We can try audio. We can try. Is there something in Pshat that leads to the approach that all these things going wrong? Okay. So Barbara's saying, she's talking about the irony of, what in the Pesukim relates, I'm gonna open up my Tanakh in a minute, but where in the Pesukim do we find something that's so, I want to bring the Pesukim up in a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to open up a new window. Right. We can try with the thing. Is there anything in the Pesukim? First, how do we know from the Pesukim that Yaakov was tardy in fulfilling his neder? In the meantime, I'm going to open up a Chumash for everybody. Bible Hebrew only, and we get Parshat Vayetze. Do you see the screen yet or not? Probably not. Okay, now I got my Chumash open. Sorry about that. Okay, now, Gary Sambat, he didn't go back to Beit Lechem right away, or Beit El. Or back to his parents. That's one interesting thing we'll talk about soon. Okay. And that's a question, Gedad, you know, what leads him to go, what he does go, when he doesn't go. We're going to take a look at the Pesukim and see how, in sort of a roundabout way, how Chumash seems to be a little bit, bikorti, a little bit, critical of Yaakov's behavior. And then we'll talk about this whole idea about being critical. I'm sorry, I'm not showing the desktop. I'm going to move my desktop now and start again. Let's take a look at the Pesukim. Here we go. We're in, Yaakov is leaving. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong parak. I'm sorry about that. That's Vayishlach. We need parak lamed. Parak lamed. I'm sorry. There we go. Notice Yaakov is having trouble having children. And, listen, remember Yaakov's first line in his neder, "Im yeli mi madi, if God will be with me." Later on, here. I'm sorry, I'm going to highlight it now. Yaakov says as follows. Actually, I'm going to move this to word processor. Give me a half a second. I need to move this to a word processor so we can play with the Pesukim better. We're going to copy this over, and we're going to put it in a word processor so we can... Oh, my screen's not moving around too fast. Go, and... Should come up in half a second. We have to make it bigger. And we're ready to go. Okay. Okay, marker back. Okay. when Rachel asked for children, okay, look at Yaakov's answer. Yaakov says as follows. I hope the screen is working good now. This is what Yaakov says. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel and says, "Hatachet Elohim Anochi Asher Manah Minech Pribaten. Am I replacing God who's holding back having you having children?" If you pay attention, something really interesting. When the first four children of Leah, when they're born, they all almost all of them relate to Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Kishama Hashem, Ra Hashem Etid. Take a look at them. I think Levi Dan have it, but Reuben, Shimon, and Judah all have Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei in their naming. Then when we get to Rachel having children, it says Hatachar Elokim Anochi, and then she gives Bilhah as a child. And listen to the names that Rachel gives her children. It says, "Betomer Rachel, Danani Elohim." Okay. See God's name Elohim. And the next name, Bilhah, when he gets the next son, Naftule Elohim Niftalti. Okay. So you notice that when Rachel is not having children, Yaakov and Rachel both, and at least Yaakov saying to Rachel, that it's Elohim is holding it back. And when Rachel finally has children through Bilhah, she relates that to Shem Elohim. Now, look what happens. You can guess what's going to happen in a minute, later on, when Yosef is born. It's the very end. Take a look at the end. We're going to pick up from here. Look how the story of Yosef's birth begins. It says, "Vayizkor Elohim et Rachel, vatiftach et Rachma." I'm going to highlight it again here. It says, "Vatishma, vayizkor Elohim et Rachel." That's a bad underline. Who's one is giving a child finally to Rachel? It'll be Shem Elohim. And then when she has a son, says, "Asof Elohim et Cherpati." Okay. And then to Tikach Shmo Yosef. And then what's so beautiful, he says later on, Yosef Hashem li benachem. She wants an extra son with the help of Yudke Vavke. But B'Shem Elohim, she's finally having a child. Now, watch what happens. And the next story. In Pasach Chaf Hei, and this relates so beautifully to Yaakov's Neder. I'm going to move the screen down a little bit. It says as follows. I have to clear the screen again. And what's Yaakov say? One more line. Something's wrong with my screen here. Let me get the marker right. It says in Pasach Chavda in Chaf Hei, okay? It says, "Vayhi kasher yada Rachel et Yosef." I'm sorry, now I'll get it right. It says, "Vayhi in Pasach Chaf Hei, vayish kasher yada Rachel et Yosef, vayim Yaakov alavan shacheni Rachel makomi al arzi." Okay? What's Yaakov say? As soon as Yosef is born, she says, Yaakov says, "Kasher yada Rachel et Yosef, vayim Yaakov alavan shacheni Rachel makomi al arzi." Yaakov wants to come back. In a certain way, if you look back in his Neder, it's really interesting what he said. We're going to go back to the Neder for a minute and look at what Yaakov said. If we take a look at his Neder, you can almost understand it that way. Yaakov says, "If God will be with me, if God will be with me and take care of me, etc." And then, "V'shafti b'shalom l'veit avi." So pshat, like all the parshim say, it's part of the Neder. But in a certain way, it might be, it's part of the condition. It might be almost, in a certain way, almost hinting to part of the Neder, that when God takes care of me, if God will be with me by giving a child, then it's a sign he's going to bring me back now to my father's house. Therefore, Yaakov wants to return. What happens next in the story? We all know. Yaakov says, "Okay, before I leave, before I make Aliyah, I have to save some money." And he says, "Give me some, make a living." So we're going to go to the end of the parak, and he finally gets money with the whole genetic engineering trick. And then it says, he becomes very, very wealthy. Then what happens in the next parak? Well, we're going to go to the next parak. That's going to be parak Lamed Aleph. In parak Lamed Aleph, what happens right away is, Yaakov Einenu idmo kizmo shoshom. Okay? And then, Vayimar Shem Yaakov, Shuvah, Eretz Malatecha, Ve'yeimach. That's what I wanted. What's God tell them? Return to the land of your father, and I'll be with you. Meaning, God's saying, time's up. I gave you time, you had your two wives, you had your children, you made a living. Now you want me to be with you? It's almost in the first way, it's the first type of anti-Semitism that's encouraging Yaakov family to make Aliyah. And later in Yaakov's dream, what does he see? And Hashem tells him in the dream, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, he tells him, Onachi ha'el beit el, asher mashapta sham matseva. And here's the key line. What's God tell him in the dream? Asher nadarta li sham neder. What did you do there? You made a neder for me. Right? There's no doubt in the Pesukim that God's very, very Yaakov didn't return as soon as he should have. And it's from these Pesukim much earlier, maybe not the first year, within a year or two, he should have fulfilled his matter. How long does he have to wait? And it's only the events, two events, the sort of anti-Semitism that begins. With Lavan and his family saying that Yaakov got rich, made his fortune on their misfortune. Okay? And then together with the dream where God says, remember the neder you made, it's time to come back. I think that leads Chazal to being critical. Once they say he was waited, we know that on his way back, Yaakov's life is not a fairy tale at all. And I think what Chazal do is they're picking up on Chazal seems to be picking up on that criticism to explain to him what's been going wrong. So I want to summarize that point, and then we'll have a little discussion about it. I should be back to the other screen. If I understand correctly, what Chazal were doing is, in Pshat and Psukim, it's very easy to understand that there is something problematic in the fact that Yaakov holds back his neder. Is that the real cause for all the things that go wrong in his life? Everything goes wrong later on, it has its own reason. But Shimon and Levi did with Shechem, that's a Shvichut Damim. Or later Mechirat Yosef, that the brothers did. The brothers responsible for. But Chazal see a link between that and Yaakov's behavior. What happened later with Reuven. With everyone, every sin that they talked that they relating to, about the Gilrat of Reuven, or maybe of Yosef and Potiphar, about Shvichut Damim that happens. About Avodah Zarah that takes place, or that seems to be taking place. Be it with the Trafim, or what happens with Rachel, or maybe the death of Rachel, and then the Lashon Hara that, the Diba, and then how the brothers don't tell the father what happened. All those things, and Chazal talks about the 20 years these 20 years that Yaakov was away from home, that those are the same 22 years that he doesn't see Yosef. The way Chumash sets things up, there's too many things going on, and Chazal take, I call that sometimes super pshat, that's a medrash we see in a super pshat. The way Chazal see that Chumash is being very critical of the Avot, in a sense, that they're telling them that they there's things that they did in their life that there's a price to pay for. So I think what this whole idea that it's okay to be critical of the life of the Avot, I know it's a very controversial topic, that is okay, you're allowed to study Sefer Bereshit and look for problems in bad behavior. There's no doubt Chazal did that. There's no doubt they... Midrash does that a lot. Just like if it goes out of its way to make them superheroes in some cases. Some Midrashim, which are no less authoritative, go out of their way to find faults that aren't even there sometimes. And I think the reason for that is, again, neither is coming to tell you, but isn't coming to say this for sure happened this way or this because of that. But they're using the study of Chumash to teach us lessons. Now, if the Avot, we've been talking about this, for ages, if the Avot, our forefathers, aren't chosen because they're better, they're chosen to be better. And Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, isn't chosen because we're better. We're chosen to be better. That our whole very existence is one of Tikkun Olam, the Takein Olam HaMachut Shaddai. And that our whole goal of the nation is to be a model nation, not just in being perfect in behavior, but learning how to perfect and how to make things better. So then, it makes sense that when Chazal study Chumash and we find what appears to be problematic behavior, don't be surprised that we take that behavior and use it as a springboard for learning how we have to be careful in our own behavior. When we're about to, what do you call it? I have an example from Yara in Harvard. in yeshivas when someone's going to what's called a secular university. So they give them all these warnings. They're not warning them to tell them what will happen. They're telling them what might happen. But giving sometimes warnings when someone's off on a journey, be it a physical journey or a spiritual journey, and every journey has both of them, being aware of the dangers is something important. A person goes on a journey, has to survive. The chances of them going into difficult situations where he might come to either Avodah Zarah, Shvichut Damim, Gilal Reiot, Avodah Zarah, are much more real when someone's traveling, when he's not in his home setting. And being aware of those dangers and praying for them is something important. Whether that was Yaakov's original intention or not is totally irrelevant. The Medrash has tremendously to learn from in our own lives in many ways. I want to conclude with one little insight about making a nether. Something that came up a couple years ago. We learn about making a nether in times of trouble from Yaakov Avinu. If you remember, Yaakov makes a nether that when he comes back, from Laban or from his journey and goes back to Israel, this site will become a Beit Elohim. In our weekly show, we talked about how Yaakov is saying that he's not making a prediction this will be a Beit Elohim, he's making a resolution that he will build here a Beit Elohim. This idea of making a nether when you're in time of trouble sometimes is misunderstood. And I'll bring an example from 2 years ago when there was a difficult situation in Gush Katif and they were before the pullout, but they were seriously considering the pullout and the army was about to go in. So there was a nether going on, making a vow that people said, if God prevents the evacuation of Gush Katif, then we're going to take upon ourselves to do tzedakah and do mishpat and help the poor and visit the sick in the hospital. There was a whole beautiful nether, which is a wonderful idea, to make a nether in time of tzara. I've written about the time, but we'll talk about Chana's nether as well. What I want to talk about nether in time of tzara is as follows. It's not saying, when you make a nether, you're talking about something that I can't do now because of my situation. Right? Chana's nether isn't saying that, Chana's saying if you give me a child, it's a perfect example. Chana's nether is, right now I want a child, I don't have one. I can't give my child to God. I can't dedicate my child to God because I don't have one. Chana is saying, if you answer my nether and you give me a child, then I'll give that child to God. Chana didn't say, if you give me a child, I'll be a nice person. If you give me a child, I'll daven shmoneh esrei better. Or if you give me a child, I'll be nice to my neighbors. She can do that right away. She's saying, a child I don't have now. And she's davening for a child. When Am Yisrael makes a nether in the war against Sichon and Og, in the war against when Melech Arad and Sefer Bamidbar comes and attacks and they take a Shevi and Am Yisrael makes the nether, they don't say, I'm giving the money I have now. They're saying, if I win the battle, I'm going to take the spoils and give the spoils to God. You can make a nether for something you don't have now, you can't do now. Yaakov's nether isn't something he could do right now. Yaakov's saying, right now I can't build a Beit Elohim because I'm running away. I can't serve you properly because I'm running away from Israel. But when I come back to Israel, and you help me come back, then I'll be able to build a Beit Elohim for you. And the idea of making a nether in time of trouble doesn't mean that it's not meaning, oh, you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. It's not saying, it's not about things that I can do right now. Any mitzvah that you can do on the spot, you don't say, I'm only going to do that mitzvah if God's nice to me. That's playing a fair weather Jew. You don't say, I'm going to do this mitzvah if you help me. Like, God's not working for you, you're working for God. You're telling God, if you help me through this difficult situation and bring me salvation from it, what I gain from this specific situation, I will use it to improve my service of you. Okay. Which one? Nishbati b'kema v'shmor mishpatei tzidkecha. Yeah, but he's not saying if you help me, and that means more. But if somebody's in trouble in war, etc., so let's say, when I get back from war, when things will be better, I'll be able to serve you better. That's fine. But saying right now, I'm going to do more set. I'm going to give more tzedakah. If I'm not healthy now, a person's sick, and saying, if you get me out of this mess, if you give me health, then I'm going to give. I'll be nicer to other people. Or if you give me something. The nether is on something that you'll only have as a result of your health. If a person's sick and not well, and says, when I get better and I'm healthy, then I'm going to go volunteer in a soup kitchen, so it's fine. Something that they can't do now because of the health situation. But if someone can be nice to his neighbor now and saying, if you help me, if you get me healthy, then I'll be nice to my neighbors. If not, I won't be nice to my neighbors. That's not a nether in Beshat Sarah. So if you, all the examples of nedarim in times of trouble are all about something they'll do with the condition, the new condition, when God saves them. Again, like Hannah, she'll have a child, then she'll give that child to God. Yaakov, when I return to Israel, I can build a Beit Elohim. But they don't say something they can do right now on the spot. But they're not going to say, I'm going to be a better Jew if you're a better God to me. And that's a very classic, sometimes misunderstanding of the cloud that Chazal have, that no dream besat sarad, you're allowed to make a neder. In general, Chazal were reluctant from people making the darim, from making vows. But when they make vows, in times of sarad, it's permitted. Because they'll say someone who makes it now, it's like he built a bama and they keep it, he brought on a bama. Of course, there are times in bamot or mutter. But it seems to be a negative connotation. But when it's okay, it has to do with the situation where if God saves me from the situation I'm in, there's something I can do that I can't do now that I'll do when God saves me from that situation. And that's the type of neder that David HaMelech and Chana and Yaakov and Am Yisrael in the desert are talking about. So I want to close with the idea of nederim. So today we saw a little medrash, how the medrash takes those four ideas, both they find it in Yaakov's tefillah before he leaves, and they find it in his life. Neither might be explaining simple pshat of the psukim, but I think all of them relate to the super pshat of the psukim when we take into consideration what the Chumash goes out of its way to show the irony in Yaakov's life, how he suffers from many of the things that he might have been able to prevent in his own life. And the Medrash takes a beautiful insight into those things, and definitely it's not coming to teach us what happened in Yaakov's life, but it's coming to teach us how we can apply Yaakov's life to our own life. If there's any questions, we'll take them. Otherwise, we have to, you guys have to go to sleep, and I have to go to shul.
Have a good day.
Okay.
We have to try to work on getting people to not be afraid to talk, and instead of always typing in. I know Menachem wants that, so I'll push it for him. Don't be afraid to hit the transmit button on the left and to speak your answer. It makes it more interactive, that way. Okay, Menachem, you agree, eh?
Yeah, sure, for sure. Okay. It's difficult talking, to end up talking to yourself, but talking to, a screen, but time will
try now. Everybody can try now.
Okay. I'll answer Barbara's question here. If Yaakov's neder was okay, he suffered because that's okay what Chazal say. Chazal are not critical of Yaakov for making a neder. They're critical of Yaakov for holding back his neder. Do you understand, Barbara? Right. Yeah, when it's called Mashen Nidro. He's not saying Yaakov's being punished for making a neder. Yaakov's being punished for not fulfilling it when he should have. He should have come back 3, 4, 5 years earlier. Waiting till he got richer and richer and richer and God had to tell him to get out of here. It took 6 years when, after he said, I'm going back, I'm making Aliyah, and I'm returning. And only after he got too rich and too wealthy, and anti-Semitism began with Lavan's brothers, did he say, I'm coming back. He said, only after God told him it's time to come back, But when God tells him it's time to come back, he's been critical. He's saying, I'm the God, you made me an editor back then. You could say Yaakov's waiting for God to tell him to come back, because maybe he's waiting for his mother to tell him. They're definitely mean on him, but I think that's why I brought up Sukkim. When God says, Ani Akel Beit El, Asher Nedata Li Sham Neder, Vatakum, I'm the God of Beit El, you made me Neder. It sounds very much like, you forgot about me. And I think it's that negative connotation of Sukkim that Allah has ought to be negative. See, in the trouble that happens later in Yaakov's life to be a result of holding back his neder. But I agree with you, it's severe, but that's what Chazal say, because Baruch Hu mezakeh tzaddikim b'chutz ha'sarah, that dafka with tzaddikim, God expects much more from them. And you might have heard, you might have caught some little Zionistic overtones in that, but that's for your own...
There are people in Israel, by the way, you should know that. Not too many, but there are a few of who listen to the Zionistic overtone.
Who's that? We have Gary and Zink. We have Thornhill. Where's Eva? Okay. We have Brooklyn. A couple of Brooklyns. I didn't look at the names yet. We have Toronto. And we have Omigda Oz. Okay, that must be... That's a student. Okay. Oh, Barbara's got the camera on. Barbara, does your microphone work? I'll just test it for the fun of it.
It's a transmitter.
Yeah. I guess that, because I see Barbara, I see at least the, and people didn't know, you can play with those images, the pictures, you can play cards with them, you can move them around, you can click them and drag them. So if there's something you don't want to see, you can drag them away, you can cover one on top of the other, you can cover them. So, yeah.
So, yeah, why don't you say hello from Harvard,
Oh, yeah, you're putting that on your screen. See, Yair's a computer guy, so he can put different things on the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do with this, Brookline.
I discovered that by accident.
Oh.
It was actually
Brookline. Oh, Brookline, not Brooklyn.
But it's actually funny now.
What? So, yeah, okay. Yair's comes in clear.
Could you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
We also saw you did some kind of trick with your camera, right? Zeb, I'm reading Zeb's question. What was Yaakov asking for in the first verse of the Medrash? Oh, no. In Yaakov's, in his first verse of the Medrash, Yaakov, the Medrash simply turning Yaakov's tefillah, Yaakov's request for food and drink into physical requests, into spiritual ones. It's classic. Oh, Yaakov's not worried about food and drink. He's yeshiva bachur. What's he worried about? He might say Lashon Hara. He might come to do Avodah Zarah. It's like yeshiva bachur going off to college. Just like I brought the example for Yair. What's the issue of Bachar Brigham? Is he worried about getting kosher food? Is he worried about getting, all the other problems on campus? So, but it's such a beautiful, I think anyone who travels, anyone who goes through a difficult situation really appreciates what Chazal is doing to Yaakov's Nether, to turning it into, first of turning it into Tefillah, as opposed to, that's why it all began, what's the order? What's Gary asking? Why does Yaakov ask for Lechem? So Rashi answers that question. When God told him in the dream, "Ki lo azavcha, I won't forsake you," Rashi says, "Someone nezav is someone who doesn't have tzed." And he brings the pasuk from Benching, "Nariti gam zakanti, lo riti tzadik nezav, bazam v'kishlachem." So your question, Rashi asks the exact same question and answers it and says that he messes up everything that Yaakov says in the condition of his nether to everything that God promised him. Basically, everything in pasuk chav comes from pasuk tzedav. Look at Rashi and Pashachaf. Actually, the Medrash does the exact same thing. Rashi's quoting the Medrash. It was an earlier Medrash, which we didn't read, which correlates between everything that God said to everything that Yaakov says in this condition.
Okay, Kim, and that's when we'll let you go off.
Okay.
And stop in.